Well, good evening, saints. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at Jeremiah chapter 1. In that chapter, God called Jeremiah to be a prophet to the nations around him and also to the nation of Judah in which he lived. Jeremiah didn't want to go. He protested that he was only a youth, but God sent him anyway because he had not been chosen for his own great ability. And God promised that he would be with him to deliver him. God even told him, "They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you." Tonight we're going to be in Jeremiah chapter 2. This chapter has 37 verses, so we won't be getting through all of that. But in this chapter, God gives Jeremiah his first message to proclaim. And as with most prophecies of judgment, there's a lot of repetition and poetic language as God drives each point home. So for that reason, we're not going to stop at every single verse, but we'll get an overview of this part of the passage. When reading Old Testament prophets and their messages of judgment, it can seem like a distant, barely relevant message that God gave to Israel several thousand years ago in response to their specific situation and rebellion. And on its face, that is what it is, and it can make it fairly dry to read through. But that's not all that it is. God has not changed, and through these passages we can see his nature and his constant desire for Israel to repent. Man does change, but his basic nature and proclivity towards sin remains unchanged. So while the specific situations in these passages may be over and done, the rebellion of man and God's constant drawing of him back to himself continues. And so we can learn a lot from this. So with that in view, we'll begin in Jeremiah 2, verse 1. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown." God sends Jeremiah to Jerusalem to speak a message, and he tells him to go cry in their ears. This is a message they won't want to hear. It's a message of judgment, and he'll have to bring it to them and make them hear it anyway. This is during the time that Josiah is cleansing the land of all the idols. So the king is serving the Lord, but the people as a whole are not. God begins this message by saying, "I remember. I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth." God reminds them of the time when they were in the wilderness, a land that was not sown. It was when they were in the most hardship, the greatest trial as a nation, wandering about in the desert, that they were most faithful to the Lord. Even though they weren't perfect at that time, they all fell in the wilderness, but as a nation, they were serving the Lord in a way that they were not later on. And it shouldn't come as any surprise to us that the Lord brings trials and afflictions on us, because they tend to have such a positive impact on our relationship with him. Coming to the end of ourselves doesn't always, but often does, make us look to him as we should have from the beginning. Amen. It also has a tendency to make the idols of this world look as temporal and worthless as they are. So if you want to avoid some needless suffering, cast down any idols that start to creep up. You're not going to get rid of all suffering, but there are some trials and afflictions that might be rendered unnecessary. Continuing in verse 3, "Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the firstfruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend, evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord." So God is still speaking of what was in the past. Israel was set apart for God, and anyone who rose against Israel was offending against God and would bring disaster upon themselves. This is in contrast to the judgment that God is now bringing on them, or about to bring upon them, when he will use other nations as his instruments to discipline Israel. In fact, in Jeremiah 27:6, God calls Nebuchadnezzar my servant. So no longer are those that rise up against Israel opposing God, but now they will be his instruments. Continuing in verse 4, hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity and become vain? Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, and where no man dwelt? And I brought you into a plentiful country, to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land, and made mine heritage an abomination. The priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not profit. Here God is reminding Israel of all the good that he had done for them. He brought them out of Egypt. He led them through the wilderness with all the deserts and pits. He brought them into a good country. But they did not remember all the good that he did for them. They forgot his works. This morning we were talking about not looking back, as the Israelites did at the leeks and the garlics, or as Lot's wife at the city of Sodom. But we do want to look back and remember the way the Lord led us. Amen. In fact, God warned Israel of this very thing many times. He says in Deuteronomy 8:11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments, and his judgments, and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. God knew this was going to be their downfall. Ease and comfort tend to lead to complacency, and complacency tends to lead to serving the idols of material things. So beware, be vigilant. Don't think the same danger doesn't apply to us. Israel was a nation that had sworn as one man that they would serve the Lord God with all their hearts. They had had reminder after reminder. They had feasts to God. They had sacrifices. They were to speak of the things that God had done when they sat in their houses and when they walked on the roads and teach them to their children. God even gave them a song, the song of Moses, that would remind them of everything God had done. A song that they would not forget. God specifically stated, it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. And that song is in Deuteronomy 32. But despite all this, they did not remember what he had done, but turned away from the Lord. Deuteronomy 8:19, and it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. So this was the word of God by Moses, that if they forgot him and served other gods, this would happen. And now Jeremiah spoke of the fulfillment of God's word through Moses. Continuing on in verse 9, wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Chittim, and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. The nations around Israel worshipped false gods, and even they didn't turn from their gods. But Israel, who had the true God, turned away from him. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. God speaks of himself as a fountain of living waters. If you're out in the desert, there aren't very many places to find water, and those that do have water are going to be the places that sustain life. If you dig a cistern and you fill it with water, it might act as a source of water for a time, but eventually it's going to run dry, and anything that relied on it is going to die of thirst. When we exchange God for anything else, it may appear to sustain us for a time, but the end will be death. Yes. In fact, God doesn't even give them credit for building working cisterns, but says they've made broken cisterns. They can't even temporarily supply their needs. Verse 14, is Israel a servant? Is he a homeborn slave? Why is he spoiled? So it took me a bit to understand what he's saying here, but I believe these are rhetorical questions, and the answer is yes. Yes, Israel is a servant. Yes, he is a slave. He belongs to God. And yet God has allowed him to be spoiled. Not like you might spoil a toddler, but spoiled as in to become a prey, as some other translations put it. The young lions roared upon him and yelled, and they made his land waste. His cities are burned without inhabitant. Also the children of Noph and Tahpenes have broken the crown of thy head. Right here, it's not clear to me whether God is speaking of the present or speaking of the future as though it were already here. These two cities are cities of Egypt. And at the time God gave this word to Jeremiah, Josiah was king. If you recall how Josiah died, he met Pharaoh Necho in battle after Pharaoh told him not to come out and fight against him. And afterwards, the king of Egypt changed who was king of Israel, or king of Judah. He removed the one son, and he put up another son, and he changed his name. And then he imposed a heavy tax on the land. So it may be this time that God is speaking of that was coming shortly after this. Verse 17, hast thou not procured this unto thyself, and that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God when he led thee by the way? Man likes to blame God for his problems, or really anyone besides himself. But Israel had brought this on themselves. And God sent prophet after prophet to warn them from their way so that he wouldn't have to bring this upon them. But they had not listened. Verse 18, and now what hast thou to do in the way of Egypt, to drink the waters of Sihor? Or what hast thou to do in the way of Assyria, to drink the waters of the river? God means, of course, not that they're physically drinking the water out of these rivers, but that they are relying on the land of Egypt and the land of Assyria in their time of trouble, instead of recognizing that their trial and trouble is a judgment from God. Instead, they look to earthly help, which only served to lengthen the judgment. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backslidings shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. For of old time I have broken thy yoke and burst thy bands, and thou saidest, I will not transgress, when upon every high hill and under every green tree thou wanderest, playing the harlot. Israel grew and became a nation while in Egypt. They went there as a small group and became a nation, and it was from there that God set the nation of Israel free from bondage. And he says, I have broken thy yoke and burst thy bands. Yet despite this, they had served idols at the high places and under the trees, not serving the God who had set them free. There are some other passages that indicate that they at times also served the Lord at the high places. which was not according to his instruction. But I believe here he is specifically referring to the worship of idols in these places. Yet I have planted thee a noble vine, wholly a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? For though I wash thee with nitre, and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord God. Judah had sinned against God, and they could not themselves remove their sin. Several times the people had turned, at least in part, back to the Lord. In the days of Hezekiah, the latter days of Manasseh, after he repented, and now in the days of Josiah. But in Jeremiah 3:10, God says, Judah did not return to me with her whole heart, but in pretense. They had seen their need to repent, and had part way. Idols were smashed, altars were desecrated, but the people did not turn to God with their whole heart. And so tragically, instead of avoiding the judgment of God, they brought it upon themselves. That's as far as we're going to go in this chapter tonight, but I want to leave you with a couple of takeaways. Firstly, watch out for idols. Don't let them creep up. If you find any, cast them down. Idolatry was Israel's undoing and has destroyed many before them and after them. Nothing must be allowed to stand between you and seeking after God. Even harmless things or good things can become idols. Nothing can be allowed to come before Christ. Secondly, remember the way the Lord has brought you. Remind yourself and remind each other of what he has done for you, both in the salvation he has given us and in the way he has led us. Psalm 103, verse 2 says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. If we forget the goodness of God, it's only a matter of time before we forget him. But if we remember his faithfulness, it will encourage us to continue to trust him through each thing we are brought through. The attitude we want is the one expressed in Psalm 116:12. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me?
Amen.
Your comments and corrections.
Tragic thing that Israel went back after having been delivered, but our deliverance is so much greater. And God said, I will heal you of your backsliding. Now we're in a time when God has given us his Spirit, put a new heart within us, his Holy Spirit dwelling in us. He's changed us and made us new creatures, which couldn't be said of them. But how much sore punishment if we turn back after this. So God has made it abundantly available for us to continue faithful to him. And you can see that in the church throughout history. The church has had a faithful remnant throughout. But it is still possible. After having been delivered, turn back.
I found it helpful to look back and recount to myself the ways specifically that God has led me. And I've been encouraged by that. And at one point, I happened to go back and look at it, and I found there were things I'd completely forgotten about that I'd written down. It encouraged me greatly to see that.
Remember the Lord your God. was reading recently, "Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Now keep my feet from falling." Those two things. He delivered our soul from death, and now we ask him to keep my feet from falling.
Thank you for your comments. Let's stand and close in prayer, brother.